Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Nerd stuff, but make no mistake, when money's coming out, this show wants to be where the money resides. And boy, today, that might be one spot that's making people pretty nervous right about now. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jhené, you are always the one that brings that up. We want to be where the money resides on this show. And so if you're paying attention to NFL free agency right now, boy, oh boy, we are seeing the money reside in some brand new pockets right now. And it's always nice to stop first and foremost and watch young people change their lives large
Thank
amounts
you.
Of money, first and foremost.
Got to give the people what they want. And when it comes to this time of the year, it's the money. It's the money.
It is the money. So we will get to what one team in particular is doing in free agency right now that already has the ground quaking under a lot of other teams' feet right now. Because Bill Belichick and the Patriots are out here spending money, and that is something that makes everyone inherently very nervous. But Jhené, what everyone's trying to do in free agency right now is top something that may be impossible to ever top again. Drew Brees announced his retirement from the NFL this weekend. 20 seasons between the San Diego Chargers and the New Orleans Saints as a quarterback, a surefire Hall of Famer. And as Kevin Clark, who does a great job over at The Ringer, put it, Brees is the best free agent signing ever. And maybe one of the best second-round picks of all time, and ended up being the perfect career quarterback for Sean Payton and that offense. But Jhené, this is a quarterback that, of all the things we can talk about in his legacy as it relates to free agency right now, him choosing New Orleans, going there and not with the Nick Saban Miami Dolphins at that time, changed the course of the NFL and maybe college football as we know it, and created one of the best Hall of Fame careers we've ever seen at that spot.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll touch on the football side, but when it comes to the actual, the human being side, you know, you use the language of him choosing New Orleans, and it's amazing when you see a city choose their quarterback in return too. You know, New Orleans choosing Drew and embracing his leadership. And I was just looking at a lot of different quotes. You know, everyone's posting their tributes. And the Saints owner, Gail Benson, said this statement: "When Drew first joined the Saints in 2006, my late husband Tom was determined to deliver a team to New Orleans that would win a championship on the field and become a leader in the community following the setbacks that Hurricane Katrina dealt our region. Over and above his outstanding performance, which highlights, obviously, it's just football, but when it comes to him as a person, flawed and all, right? Drew came to represent the resolve, passion, and drive that resonates not only with Saints fans and football fans, but our entire community that, and now I'm extrapolating as the quote ends, a community that really needed something to root for. And, you know, he just carried that burden and uplifted so many others. I found out that his foundation has touched, like, raised $25 million for causes, largely hunger, you know, based causes that matter, not just in the community of New Orleans and Louisiana, but globally. And so for someone, we all sort of saw this was coming. We've been talking to many, you know, experts and insiders that said financially he's retired. But to now sort of be able to celebrate what he meant, you know, it's not just on the field.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And before we get to where the Saints go from here, that beginning with Drew Brees does matter, because you're right. It forged one of the most unique relationships between player and city, player and franchise, player and state that you'll see in all of sports because of that reason. The Saints' success, that 2009 Super Bowl, all of it was a culmination in the recovery for that city that's still ongoing in some ways from Hurricane Katrina. But I'll never forget seeing down there. I did two stints in the offseason with the New Orleans Saints at different times. And there was one year where there was a bill getting ready to go through the Louisiana State Senate that was going to affect workers' comp for professional athletes out of season in that state. Some real minutia stuff, but the NFLPA decided to send a bus full of players down to the Louisiana State House to try and see if they could put a dent in this. And we get there, Drew Brees walks up there, gets to say his piece to all of these politicians, and then that bill never sees the light of day. Like, Jhené, that was the kind of power that this person had in that particular state, the kind of weight his voice carried in addition to all of the charitable acts. And so focusing on how that relationship got started was where a lot of people went. And Drew Brees joined the NBC News and the Today Show, the now former Saints quarterback, and talked about that, what went into his decision after that shoulder surgery, after leaving San Diego, to sign with the New Orleans Saints.
I feel like there was divine intervention there. I can remember like it was yesterday, Brittany and I visiting New Orleans, and it was 6 months post Katrina, and, you know, the city was just in shambles. And I think the Saints were trying to show us the best of the city, and they were trying to show us, you know, maybe some neighborhoods that were still intact. And hey, look, you can live here, you can raise a family. You know, this is a great place. And it wasn't until Sean Payton got lost driving us back to the Saints facility at one point, because keep in mind, he'd only been there a month, and he got lost in Lakeview right next to the 17th Street Canal, where some of the worst flooding and destruction had occurred. And I remember seeing houses ripped off the foundations. And in fact, at one point, the car stopped and we both looked up and there was a tugboat in the middle of the road. So we had to turn around because we couldn't pass. And that was the moment where Brittany and I looked at each other and said, this is so much more than just football. This is part of the resurrection, resurgence of one of America's greatest cities. And we have a chance to be a part of this. This is a calling.
Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chinay, it did feel like that down there. And the reception for Drew Brees choosing that place in the midst of those circumstances, and then the success they were able to go on and have. And yes, it only, and it's got to feel strange to say, it only netted them one Super Bowl with that combination of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. But what was described there certainly feels like it impacted a lot more.
Yeah, and what, you know, the way that ended was, you know, this was a calling, right? And it wasn't just a career. There was much more to gain, and he passed his knowledge on the next generation, right? Which I sort of, you know, head towards the conversation of what's next for the New Orleans Saints, because a big reason that Jameis Winston signed there was, I need to be under one of the greatest minds in football. I need to learn from one of the greatest vets in the game that has been to the pinnacle and succeeded. And, you know, now you see Jameis Winston waiting in the wings. You know Taysom Hill has a lot of confidence based on his success this past season. It's going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out with how they decide to sort of restructure now their team from that position.
Yeah, I think as we look at that succession plan, because part of the humor around this announcement was the Saints almost immediately after Drew and his kids were the ones he had on video on Instagram make the announcement he was retiring after 20 seasons. Almost immediately after that, the Saints restructured an extension for their backup quarterback Taysom Hill in a four-year, $140 million extension that had all void years on it and was just designed to create cap space. This team wakes up and routinely chooses violence when it comes to finances in the NFL.
But they have to. They're in cap hell.
They are, I mean, they are the leaders of cap hell right now. They're the ones checking tickets at the gate, trying to create room. But, Chinay, I think part of that is going to also be a reason, and that familiarity with Jameis you mentioned, why I think they swing hard to try and make sure Jameis comes back there. Because you look at that decision he made, it was already predicated on, I'm going to swallow my pride, look away from my pocketbook, and say, what can be best for my football future? And man, if you're looking around right now at the opportunities this offseason, I would shudder to find an opportunity football-wise that's going to be better for Jameis Winston than the one sitting in front of him in New Orleans right now. And we have clearly seen, they can find creative ways to get your taxes filed and still keep you plenty of money. I saw someone tweet out, this is how rich people do their taxes, and I've never heard a more true or accurate financial
comp. Well, teach me. Teach us, please. Like, teach us. If they need to do that on the side, teach all of us, please. We need the help.
It is incredible. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, though, because we did get to hear from his head coach, Sean Payton, earlier today on Greeny with Mike Greenberg, talking about that now. What is the plan for the Saints? What do they do here in the immediacy of this news? Here was Sean Payton, the Saints head coach.
Taysom Hill's under contract with us, and we're going to go out and look to sign another player. Jameis Winston is a guy that we're familiar with because we had him last year, and it was an opportunity for not only us to quickly get familiar with him, but vice versa, him to be able to see what we do offensively and how we do it. So really, that's the plan for us.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And so while the Saints work on that plan, we want you to work on something. At Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr., or 888-729-3776. Drew Brees, no doubt, one of the most, if not the most important athletes and impactful athletes in the history of New Orleans, maybe the state of Louisiana. What's your area? What's your city's most impactful athlete? What's the most important athlete to that city's or area's history that you can think of? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But coming up next, we also had Selection Sunday going on yesterday in the world of March Madness. The men's hoops tournament is set. What are the differences you need to take stock of, and how are they going to affect the way that we enjoy and consume the tournament this year? That's next. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
H-Town in the building. Chinee Agumake and company. You got to be feeling pretty good after the Grammys last night.
Meg Thee Stallion, Beyonce, the all-time leading Grammy Award winner as a female. Like, it was a great day to be from Houston if you love music.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and the proud daughter of Houston, Texas, Chinee Agumake.
And Beyonce, and sister to Meg, pretty much in my head.
So Beyonce became the all-time leader in Grammys by a female artist and any artist in general, I believe, right?
With 22?
With 28 Grammys to her name last night.
Oh, my. Goat. I can bring that back up, right? It's Serena. I feel like Beyonce is appropriate. You say the word goat.
Listen, Beyonce is any clause in any contract we make, because I promise you the last group of people on earth I'm trying to make mad are her fans. If you think any sports franchise has crazy fans, you have never messed with Beyonce's folks. I don't want to come for those people. I'm a friend
Precisely.
Of Beyonce. We love her around here.
Oh, yeah. Be afraid of the beehive.
It is pretty incredible. Cliff, is there someone getting close?
No. Ooh,
very, very scary right now.
No. Drake? You think they come through? Drake?
Not.
Drake? You try to do that to me today?
I was going to say, we're not trying to start off our Monday like that.
I will do it. I just would never, ever do it for Beyonce. I would do it for Drake, but never, ever.
We are not going to choose violence like that on a Monday around here. So we will stick to letting the Patriots make people very afraid by spending a lot of money. We'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. But before we get to that, Janae, we have our brackets set for the men's field in March Madness. And it was just a year ago, we talked about March 11th, 2020. Last year, when everything shut down and we started to see the conference tournaments fold up, the NCAA tournament closed its doors. And now we've got it back here today, even though we've got a very different-looking field right now, Chinee. As you saw this rolled out, I know I was struck by, and a lot of the conversation was around Duke not making the field. We know they left the ACC tournament early because of COVID issues here. Certainly them, Kentucky not being in the field this year, a lack of some of the traditional blue bloods that we've seen in college basketball in what I thought always made the tournament. I think we love upsets in the early rounds of this tournament. We love chaos on Thursday and Friday. But when it comes to the meat of the tournament, we want to know who the good guys and bad guys are. So that stuck out to me, Chinee. What stuck out to you as far as the early look at the 68-team field?
Yeah, besides finding out which four are on standby, you know, it's sort of like when you're you're nervous about making a plane. You really want to go somewhere, and then you're on the standby list,
explain that to people, because this year is very different, we know, because of COVID-19 looming here. So we've essentially got four teams that are waiting around should any of the current teams in the field become ineligible due to COVID-19.
So the last four teams to make the tournament this year, Michigan State, UCLA, Wichita State, and Drake. Now, four teams that didn't make it, Louisville, Colorado State, St. Louis, and Mississippi, have been put on standby. They can find their way into the bracket if a team in the field notifies the NCAA by Tuesday night that it must withdraw because of health concerns. Also, I believe they're still on standby if something happens in the tournament, right? So they're still going to be waiting. But it depends on how long they want to wait. If they're like, it's the Final Four, you may not want to wait that long. And so that's the different nature of this season, dealing with the bubble, dealing with the situation where, like we saw often happening in the conference tournaments, teams not being able to progress based on dealing with COVID. But hopefully the bubble gets rid of all of that. But still, there are four teams waiting to see if their opportunity will ever come. But I want to say this, Junior, because you talked about the Blue Bloods, and it's interesting to talk about like the Blue Bloods, literally Duke and Kentucky. You know, this is the first NCAA tournament without both of those teams since 1976. But let's talk about the team that's dominating and has the best chance, Gonzaga, which has a, you know, a very close place to my heart because I won to go to the Final Four my sophomore year by playing Gonzaga. A team that has been in the periphery. We always say Pac-12 after dark, but like they're West Coast after dark.
Yeah.
But consistently been a top team. And this could be their year. The last time we had a perfect team cap off, you know, their season with the national championship, it was Indiana, Bob Knight's Hoosiers that finished 32-0. And that's the case this year. You know, they're the number one overall seed entering the tournament at 26-0. But they have, you know, it's been almost 50 years for a team to enter, and this is a Gonzaga team that's normally, you know, considered a top team that has a lot of March Madness experience. Is this the year? Is this the climate? Is the bubble going to help them? Is it going to hurt them? It's going to be interesting to see how they fare, because we know this year is a different year, you know, compared to what most teams are experiencing. especially without the Blue Bloods.
I am amazed if Gonzaga is going to be enough to carry this, or if they're going to even be the ones expected, because everything you just talked about there, they're on the precipice and really already in some really rarefied air when it comes to history and college basketball, and we've barely said boo about it. I mean, the conversation around them nationally has been pretty limited because of what you said. This is a program that, despite Mark Few's success and everything they've built out there, has never really been one, maybe because it hasn't gotten over the top, maybe because it hasn't won that ultimate prize. It hasn't been able to capture people the same way. And so this becomes interesting because you don't have a lot of traditional basketball blue bloods necessarily, but you got a lot of Big Ten schools there. You got a lot of what usually feels like football country involved in this one. And by the way, if you're looking to make money off of all of this, it seems like Big Ten country is where you're going to make it. Gonzaga is 2-1 favorites to win the tournament, according to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill. That's followed by Baylor at 5-1, and then Illinois and Michigan, which are both 6-1. If you go back to early December, you could get Michigan as high as 125-1 to win the national championship at William Hill before they started getting a lot of attention for bettors. And by all accounts, from what people are hearing at sportsbooks out there, Michigan's by far the biggest liability for people heading into this tournament right now for the books out in Vegas. So that could be the team who is one of the big-time teams who's been great for a lot of this season, has one of the best big men in college basketball on their side. Could be a dangerous one to watch out.
Oh, I thought you were talking
about
their coach.
That too. I'm going to say, Juwan Howard, who was raised by his grandmother in the south side of Chicago, is ready and coming for your tournament. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Now, coming up next, we will switch gears. Roland Martin's going to join us on what we saw in the world of high school athletics over this weekend. An Oklahoma announcer using a racial slur when he didn't know he had a hot mic on. The fallout from this is a storyline you could not possibly script, but what we do with it next is going to be very, very important. We will get to all of that here on Chanae and Golic Jr., and we'll do it after this word from Indeed.
So, we started the show with the Saints and now the NCAA, March Madness, both big businesses, but both should pay the players. But I digress. When you own a business, you're the owner of everything. Sales, finance, customer service. Fortunately, Indeed is uniquely qualified to help you really own hiring. When you sponsor a job post, Indeed's Instant Match, which is pretty much like love at first sight, but with a job, Indeed's Instant Match searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately. Then you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. That announcer that said something quietly, but really, it made a loud statement for the wrong reasons. We'll get to that right after this on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now. Come watch us on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chanae Igwumike. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll give you a nice preview of an NBA doubleheader coming up tonight. Our very own Chanae Igwumike is going to be all over your NBA countdown screens later today. Excited about that.
I know. I'm so excited to get to tag team with Maria Taylor. She's already said, oh, get ready for ladies night. I'm like, oh, they ain't ready.
No, I can say they are not ready, but they better get ready very quickly. So very excited to check that out here. And Chanae will give us a great preview of those games that we're going to get to have coming up later tonight. But a game that happened over this last weekend has become a story for a lot of the wrong reasons. Now, the Norman High School girls basketball team won a state championship, 6A state championship in Oklahoma this weekend, capped a 19-0 season, which would be great news, but likely not something that we're discussing on a national radio show. The headline that came up came from an unfortunate incident in a quarterfinal game that they played in on Thursday. When the Star-Spangled Banner began to play, listeners on the NFHS network stream were listening, and one of the announcers, Matt Rowan, did not realize his mic was still on, and so the audio went out with him saying, quote, "They're kneeling, bleep them. I hope Norman gets their bleeps kicked," bleeping N-words in this spot. Obviously horrific. What followed would have been wild if it weren't so sad. The press release put out by Matt Rowan, who, among other things, blamed his choice of words in that moment, saying, quote, "I will state that I suffer type 1 diabetes, and during the game my sugar was spiking. While not making excuses, my remarks, it is not unusual when my sugar spikes that I become disoriented and often say things that are not appropriate as well as hurtful." Don't even know where to begin with that one, and so we will let a voice of reason chime in this situation. Michael Neal, the Norman High School girls basketball coach, was on Outside the Lines with Jeremy Schapp talking about this incident and his team's response. Here he was earlier.
We always tell those girls, you continue to fight, you continue to stand for what you believe, and they're kneeling because of the unity they have with each other. Obviously, if you look at these girls, both white, black, some are mixed, and you know, the things that we fight for, the things that we work towards in practice is a carryover for what they'll have to deal with in life and games. And most importantly, they just try to mature and get through some of those issues. And whenever they do, they're better for it as human beings. And then they are able to be the example for others as they move forward in life.
Now, in solidarity with that, I saw, Janae, the WNBA actually put out a statement, the PA from your league, putting out a statement in support of these young women. And for more as we digest this information and the response to it now, we go to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by Roland Martin, journalist, commentator, and host of Roland Martin Unfiltered. And Roland, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. What was your initial reaction?
Glad to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us, and just want to get your initial reaction when you first saw not only the reports of what Matt Rowan had said, but also his response and his defense, which included using his type 1 diabetes as part of the excuse in this. What was your reaction to all of this on Thursday?
Well, let's see. Both of my grandmothers had diabetes. My dad has it. My mom has it. My brother's had it. And I don't recall a single time where that led to them shouting racial epithets against Jews, against black people, against Latinos, against women, against LGBT. That's just stupid. That's just stuck on stupid. I mean, here's what just amazes me when these things happen. Folks like, I don't know where that came from. It reminds me when Michael Richards went off on stage. It just came out of somewhere. No, it came from inside of you. It's in you. Look, I played that on my show. He was real fluid in how it came out. I mean, that was an immediate reaction to seeing these players, because that's what he was thinking. That's what he was feeling. That's what he was believing. And so, look, I'm from Houston, Jack Yates High School. Janae, I know you went to Sci Fair.
But, yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I was raised where if you bust it, don't just look even more like a fool with this ridiculous. And then I'm a Christian. I'm a father. No, player, I don't want to hear it. You're a racist. That's in you. Don't act like it wasn't.
Roland Martin, journalist, commentator, host. Make sure you check out Roland Martin Unfiltered on Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Roland, I'm so glad to have you here, because I'm someone that has seen you speak and advocate countless times back in the CYP Cypress, Texas. And yes, I think we did beat your high school once in basketball, but it's all right. Y'all really came on the national stage and did some things for some years.
Once.
You're
once.
Right. Once.
Let's just be clear.
Now, absolutely. We'll set the record straight. But, you know, speaking of Matt Rowan, the announcer who used the racial epithets, and this was on the live stream, and obviously the storm that ensued, right? The women that went out there and won a championship, I feel like that's a greater metaphor for what we have to do. Being a female athlete myself, despite the criticism, step up and deliver. What did that symbolism mean to you?
Well, it speaks to the reality of race in this country. Jackie Robinson had to endure the racial hatred, yet he still performed, was Rookie of the Year, and, of course, one of the greatest players ever went to the Hall of Fame. What Muhammad Ali had to deal with, what Jim Brown had to deal with, what black head coaches have had to deal with, what Colin Kaepernick had to deal with. Here's the reality that we just need to go ahead and understand. White America has no problem with black folks performing for them. They're cool with that. We've known that historically. Dorothy Dandridge, of course, when she was in movies, when they drained a pool. You can sing at our hotel, but you can't swim in our swimming pool. Essentially, that's what Matt was saying. just entertain us with basketball. And so when you hear people say just shut up and dribble, that's really what you're talking about. And the thing here is it was caught on a microphone. See, what we have to understand is some of the biggest racism in media and press boxes in sports departments. OK, and I remember a few years ago when I was Dallas Mavericks had a media day and I was working at KKDA radio. I was a news director, morning anchor, and it was a sports writer, white sports writer, who starts going off on Allen Iverson. He's a thug. Look at the cornrows. I said, stop. I'm sorry. I said, have you met Allen Iverson? So he's a thug because of the cornrows. I said, see, you heard another white sports writer say the same thing. And now y'all are spreading that thing. I said, what about Cherokee Park's haircut? Any criticism there? So what we have to understand is that this is America. And so when people say, let's get away from race, away from politics, sports brings us all together, it's not true. It's still there. And what this guy said, he meant it. He meant it. It was inside of here. Look, I stopped using, look, I'm an African-American. You're born and raised, you hear the N-word. I stopped using the N-word 25 years ago, easy. And I have people who say, well, God, I'm being black. I can't stop myself. I'm like, actually, you can. Actually, you can. You can prevent yourself from using the N-word, from using racial epithets, sexual epithets. You can actually do that as if you want to. Matt, you showed us exactly who you are. And thank you, because now we actually know. So you can't cover it with diabetes.
Roland Martin with us here on Chiné Ngola Jr. And you're right. And a lot of these conversations, Roland, I have a feeling people would have thought after this last year, well, we're now making steps forward. After everything that happened last summer, the conversation around this would change. What happens next now after a reminder like this of where we are, as you mentioned, as a country, but certainly in the world of sports and sports media, now that this is unearthed yet again this publicly?
This is what I need. And if you are black, I need you to step out of the conversation right now. I need white people to have conversations with white people. I need white people, white men and white women, to check your friends, your fraternity brothers, your sorority sisters, your church members, when they say things. They may not use the N-word, but they might say those people. They might use other phrases. And see, Mike and Chiné, this is the problem. When we have conversations in this country, this happened with the Sharon Osbourne, Piers Morgan deal. We go, racist, not racist. And then that actually becomes a debate. I'm a racist. No, you're not. I'm a racist. No, you're not. But it's the things that are in between. It's that racial terrain in between. It's the perspective. It's the subjective viewpoint. It's what we say when, they really don't fit our culture. See, that's not the N-word. The problem is we have defined racism as a hood and a burning flag, a burning cross in someone's front yard. But if you deny somebody an opportunity for using those racial stereotypes or assumptions, it's the same thing. So we need white people in America to have real conversations and to check their friends and say, hey, nah, player, you can't say that around me. And if you continue saying that around me, you can't be around me. That has to happen, because here's the deal, Mike. There may be people, they're going to people say things around you. I'm not present. The late Lawrence Otis Graham wrote a book where he went to a upscale club in New York only as a waiter, $7 an hour. And he wrote a book on all the stuff that he heard. These were educated people. See, people say, well, education solved this. No, I know some very educated bigots, some educated racists. And so we have to understand that racism has been in the DNA of America, and we have to extract that. We have to challenge folks to say, no, you're not going to continue that for the next generation. It's going to stop here. But it has to be personal ownership. He didn't have friends who checked him when he said it around them. The stock car driver who got suspended, the same thing. The NBA basketball player who used the K word, same thing. Well, I didn't know it had negative connotation. Are you serious? Come on, man. I mean, that has to happen. We have to have people who are willing to tell their friends and family members, you cannot say that around me. And you continue, you can't be around me.
I think it's a great and resounding point that this instance is very easy to find and cast out, but it is the much more nuanced examples and spots that are going to take much more work and bear the fruit, hopefully, of something that works past incidents like this and gets us to a better place. Roland, we appreciate the time and the insight on this. We really do. Everyone, make sure you check out Roland Martin Unfiltered, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon under much better circumstances.
I appreciate it. Call me anytime.
Roland Martin, journalist and commentator, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, we'll get plenty of reaction to that and Chiney's preview for the NBA doubleheader tonight here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Our thanks to Roland Martin, journalist and commentator, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chiney, talking about the incident in Oklahoma, high school basketball announcer, now I'd imagine going to no longer be doing that job after a racial slur was uttered on a hot microphone in reference to a women's basketball team, Norman High School girls basketball team, taking a knee during the national anthem during their quarterfinal state championship game. And that brought up an interesting question as we look at this and we see how easy it was. Again, the quote from Matt Rowan, the announcer, was, "They're kneeling, bleep them. I hope Norman gets their bleep kicked," bleeping N-words in that spot. And just how easy it was there. And Chiney, in response to kneeling for the anthem, something that we've become very accustomed to here, were you surprised that this form of protest still drew this level of bigotry?
No. Like, we have so much work to do. I know a lot of people after 2020 maybe opened their eyes and opened their hearts to the conversations that maybe they normally weren't comfortable with having but realized was necessary. But I still think that wasn't everyone. And until, you know, we just came in, you know, from break with, you know, the bigger picture, Lil Baby off of the Grammy, and his performance pretty much says it all in the lyrics. It's bigger than black and white. It really is. And until everyone realizes that and is not just using that as a buffer to lean back into their corner, you know, we're going to still have these issues that come to light. Again, this is something that they thought was private. Private. You know, oh, our mics are not on. It's a national anthem. And it happened. So I'm not surprised at all until, like, I aspire for my children to have, you know, a world where they know these things don't exist. But we, to get there, it takes all of us. It can't be just one person having a conversation and us doing it all. It's like, it's going to be something that we're going to continue to have to work towards. So I'm not surprised. I just think the difference is when, you know, referring to Colin Kaepernick, clearly, you know, there are powers that be that could affect his career. In this instance, there probably aren't, especially with one game left to the state championship. And there's not like a big business behind that where it forces maybe those women that, you know, the young women that kneel down to lose their position. Fortunately, we're at the point where people are hearing them out differently, but there's still a lot of people that won't and haven't yet. And maybe, you know, they'll start listening. But I mean, I hope we get to that point, Junior, but I just don't think we're there yet. I'm a glass half full girl,
yeah.
and I'm very big on reality, and that's just the case.
I think Roland brought up something that's interesting, because we tend to always put the responsibility on change in these spots on the groups that are marginalized, the people that are being, you know, having these words said about them in these situations. He brought up the role of white people in this. I used to always think, as someone who grew up in a predominantly white area, that the exposure I got in athletics, the exposure I got going to college, playing college football, being around teammates from different background, that could be the difference. That could be the change for some people. But Roland brings up, I think, an interesting point. It's a reminder. It is not just exposure to black people, to women, to people of different faiths and background. It's people from your same background reminding you that that time kind of thinking isn't going to be tolerated by other white people either, yep, in this spot.
Holding our own selves accountable. Absolutely.
I think that's important. So, Chiney, we know you got to run. We're excited. You're going to be on Maria Taylor, the NBA Countdown crew tonight, getting ready for an NBA doubleheader. Very excited for that.
Knicks and Nets. New York is back. Basketball is back, baby. And then we've got Lakers and Warriors. But, like, we'll see who wins.
It's going to be exciting. We're excited to watch you on that. Coming up next, we're also excited to dive into more basketball. It is back in the form of March Madness next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.